The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Katie McFarland, welcome to this program.
It's great to be with you again, Eric. I really appreciate what you're doing and the voice that you're leading the nation with. So keep it up, and I'm delighted to be part of it.
Well, I'm delighted to hear that you think of what I'm doing in a positive way, because, you know, not everyone does. One is losing friends over these elections, which is a really grievous thing. You, of course, most recently were the Deputy National Security Advisor under General Flynn. We know what happened there. We know that Sidney Powell, the hero, Sidney Powell, who is his attorney, has fought heroically, magnificently, and is now on top of this whole Dominion thing. Do you have any thoughts on that before we talk about all these other things? Because I have to say that when someone like Sidney Powell says clearly and authoritatively what she says and what she has said repeatedly, mostly on Lou Dobbs, and then on Mark Levin and Maria Bartiromo, I mean, my goodness, it sure sounds like we're onto something bigger than any of us had dreamt. What do you have any thoughts on that situation?
Yeah, well, I think a couple of things. Number one, I don't have any special insight. So my opinion of whether he won or lost, that's a guess. And I think it's a guess on the part of anybody if you don't have the facts. I do think that there's a lot of anecdotal evidence and a lot of anomalies that would indicate that, in fact, there was election corruption. But the problem is proving it. And I don't know if Sidney Powell and the others can gather the evidence in enough time to convince a judge to take legal action. But I think that, put that aside for a second and think about sort of the 30,000 foot view of all of this. Where are we as a nation? You know, probably the thing that upsets everybody the most, Republican, Democrat, hate Trump, love Trump, is that we're so divided as a nation. And let the Constitution provides for this sort of thing. It goes into great detail on what steps need to be taken through the courts, through forensic evidence, et cetera. Let the process play out. Why? It's not even to who won and who lost. It's the fact that half of the country thinks they've been robbed. And that's if Biden is declared president. And the other half of the country will think they've been robbed if Trump is declared president. So where are we? I think if you have to have these legal processes play out, so at least people feel, if Biden has one, at least the Trump supporters can feel, okay, we've had our day in court. Now we go back and regroup and we figure out what to do next. Because if you look at American history, the problem we have had in the last couple of elections is that, you know, in the good old days for 200 years, we had an election, one side lost, they went home and licked their wounds, figured out what to do next, found a new leader, maybe new policies, and the other guy took office. What do we have now? We have a constant fight.
I think I remember in the 2000 election when we had that unprecedented delay of being very worried and saying this is very bad for the country, because I know that we have to have confidence in our institutions. If we the people are actually the government, then we the people have to believe that things work the way they're supposed to. We can trust our institutions. There are no shenanigans, or at least when we see shenanigans, we deal with them. I remember even after Watergate, people saying, well, it proves the system works, you know, that we got to the bottom of it or something. We have to have that kind of confidence. And clearly, we've been moving in the opposite direction. My guest earlier today, Dick Morris, said that he's been speaking with the president literally every day, and that the president is asking all Americans to write to the top GOP legislators in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, and Georgia, because they constitutionally have the right, and you probably know this, I didn't really until Dick laid it out, but whether to certify or not.
Yes.
And if every American were to write to them, and he provides the information, I provided it, and I will continue to provide it in social media, of what their emails are, the phone numbers, and so on and so forth, that if every American would do that, just forcing them to do the right thing by the Constitution, at the very least, we would then have an accurate count, and then whoever won, we could all say, well, at least we know we went to this last step. But a lot of people, KT, and this is why I'm so suspicious, a lot of people on the other side, the Biden team most absurdly, are waving away anyone who seems to say, can we hang on a minute and do this right? And they're saying, no, it's already been decided. We spent $300 with a graphic designer to design a phony Office of the President-elect background just to prove to all the people who don't know that there isn't such a thing as a president-elect until he's actually declared that officially. We're just going to gaslight the American public because we don't want to have there be any question, because we think, it seems to me, that they will lose if there's any actual pausing and counting. In other words, they don't seem to be doing the right thing by the American people and being bipartisan. They use terms like let's all unify and stuff, and yet they don't seem to do the most basic things to guarantee that we could all unify.
Yeah, it's just empty words. I mean, Eric, you know, all right, so let's say Biden does, you know, he does become president. And they do rush through this. He's setting himself up for a massive failure, because half the country will look at him and say he's illegitimate. And we know we've got crises ahead in the next couple of years. Half the country will think he's taking us in the wrong direction and he doesn't deserve to be there. So I think he's just setting himself up for massive failure. The other reason for it is, if you look not just at who did or didn't win for the presidency, look at all of the races around the country, at the state houses and the U.S. House of Representatives and the Senate, who won? Trumpism won. Trump's policies won overwhelmingly. My daughter ran for the Florida State House of Representatives, first time candidate in a Democrat district, and she won overwhelmingly because she ran on those policies. And that's what's happened all across the country. The other thing is that if you look at where the Republican Trumpist party is going, it's more Hispanics, it's more Blacks, it's more women, it's more veterans. That's the party of the future. So if Joe Biden thinks he's gonna, I guess, I don't know, Bigfoot his way into the White House, okay, you might get there. But I've been in a number of administrations. I've been in the Oval Office with four different presidents. And if you don't have the ability to rally the country around you, that office is worth nothing. In fact, it's worth less than nothing, because it takes the country in a very dark place. And I think that's what Biden's setting up. Words to the contrary, but that's where he's going.
Right. Well, that's, I mean, you're saying what I have been feeling. And I think, but what's funny is that, you know, if you're the sort of person that, what do they call it? You know, there are people that try to, they're trained to spot con men, confidence men.
Right.
They say, well, that's a tell. If he does that, I don't know, I would be suspicious. When I saw Kamala Harris and the vice president celebrating, I thought to myself, that is really kind of sick. Like, that's not appropriate. Why are they doing that? The reason I find it sick is that they're doubling down in such a way that if this thing does go the other way, which I think by God's grace it will, the country will be far more divided and far more chaotic than it would be if Biden soberly, with some statesmanlike thinking, did the right thing and said, we're committed to a fair election. By not doing this, and by prematurely declaring himself president-elect, and by posting this phony signage and talking about his transition team and celebrating with Kamala, it really struck me as a way of knowing what's really going on. If you knew nothing else, you'd say that's not somebody who's confident that he won. That's not what he would do.
He set the country up for 4 years of massive division. Either he wins and half the country thinks that he got there by cheating, or he doesn't win and half the country thinks that Trump got there by cheating. And why? It's because Biden's unceremonious haste to declare himself president. You know, we have a process. The process will be over in 2 or 3 weeks at the most. and let the process play out. Do you not care about the American people enough to give them 2 weeks? I don't know. The whole thing just sits very ill with me. And I think if he is the president, he will be accepting a poison chalice that he's poisoned himself.
Wow. That's a dramatic image, but it's a good image. Americans don't typically talk about chalices. Thank you for bringing us into a more patrician realm. That's very interesting, KT. And I guess I can see it myself intuitively that if you long to be president for 5 decades and then you finally get it somehow, it's almost like you can see the play or you can see the tragedy. You finally, or the movie, you get what you want and it turns to dust in your hands because you wanted it so badly that you forgot the whole idea of what it meant and what America is. You were talking just a moment ago about how you think Biden has set us up for grotesque division in the country, that if he wins, which I don't think he will, but he has set us up for division. Here's what I would say, what I hope will happen, and many, many thousands and millions are praying for this nation at this time, which I think will be the deciding factor, honestly. But it strikes me that what will happen because of this bizarre period in which we're living right now, because neither won on election night, it seems to me that this is going to give us the ability to see some things, some corruption, some malfeasance that we wouldn't have seen before, and that it will be a service to those on the fence that if Trump does get in fact, as a result of this, that there are going to be people who will be exposed as having conspired to do some of these things that we're suspecting. Who were those people? What kind of people would do this kind of a thing in an election like this? So that's my hope, is that that would bring some of the country together. I just want to ask you, you don't know much about the Dominion situation, but you do know Sidney Powell. You probably know Lynn Wood. These are not people to be taken lightly. The reason that I take what Sidney Powell has said so seriously is because of who Sidney Powell is. She doesn't seem the kind of person to just blow smoke on TV.
No, she's not frivolous. She's a very serious lawyer, and she's taken real David and Goliath cases in the past, and she's always prevailed. So, but again, let this play out. You know, let's everybody take a big, deep breath for 2 weeks. Enjoy your families, or however many of them you're allowed to talk to and be with over the holidays. And then let the country and let the experts sort it out. Not a bunch of politicians, not a bunch of TV commentators. Just let the country do its job. Let the judges, let the lawyers, let the forensics experts, let the cyber experts. The ball is in their court, and we will see what they come up with. Because here's the thing, no matter what happens with this election, we know two things going forward, that there is the opportunity and potential for cyber interference one way or another, voting machine calculations getting changed, election tallies getting hacked into. We also know that voting by mail is fraught with some problems, especially in states which have never done it before, or never done it in this kind of velocity. I've talked to plenty of people, I'm sure we all have. Plenty of people like in New Jersey. I talked to one guy who said, oh, I got 4 ballots that came to my house. It was almost like it said, dear John Smith, or current resident. And I've talked to people in New York who've had multiple ballots. I've also talked to people in other states whose dead granny got a ballot. So, you know, we are entering into a period where it's not going to be like the good old days where everybody went on election day and pulled a lever. So we ought to be prepared for what happens next. And maybe this, the good news, the silver lining of this crisis, is that every state in the country will do what states like Florida have done and make real secure mechanisms for how we vote and to track how people vote and to match signatures and to demand that people show some kind of identification when they go into the voting booths. So we'll see. I think that could be the only silver lining I see coming out of this, though.
Well, I think that if you suspect fraud, you're obliged to do everything you can to uncover it. And I have seen enough whether it's anecdotal evidence or other kinds of evidence, to make me sure that there have been people trying to cheat. I mean, if you have people keeping GOP, I'm trying to think of the term, you know, inspectors, people who are supposed to be overseeing the vote to make sure that it's fair. If you're keeping them not just at arm's
election
length.
Election supervisors people who are going in. Each party, by the way, in every state, in every jurisdiction in the country, each party is allowed an election observer to show up, not only during the elections, but during the counting of the ballots.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. So when you see that not happening, what other conclusion would any person draw that somebody's trying to hide something? I mean, if you think you won, you would have no problem with somebody watching you count the votes. But we saw this in several places. Many people saw it happen in Michigan. I spoke on the phone. I spoke on this program with somebody who's very close to John James, who was running for Senate, who went there to volunteer himself. And when he asked a question about something he saw that looked odd to him, he was asked, "Are you a racist?" Now, this is the man who's extremely close to the black senatorial candidate. Now, I think to myself, if that's what's going on in this one case that I know about, I've heard of many others, it doesn't look good for the Democrats. I have to say, the onus to me is on them, and they don't seem to be cooperating. The other good news, and you were just sharing with me, that you were just watching your daughter, Fiona McFarland, be sworn in Florida as a member of Congress. This is amazing.
She's actually for the Florida House of Representatives. This is my daughter, who is 30, just turned 35 yesterday, and she was sworn in today. She ran for the first time, ran for the Florida State House of Representatives from Sarasota. She's a Naval Academy graduate, surface warfare officer, a Naval Lieutenant Commander of the Navy Reserves, and a brand new mom. And what I must say, as much as I look around the country today and say, ugh, you know, what a mess we're all in, and particularly the baby boomers, my generation, I look and think, whoa, what a mess they've made of it, whether it's Schumer or Pelosi or Trump or Joe Biden. I mean, you know, really, this is an old generation. And yet I look at the next generation, particularly of conservatives, and it's a totally different thing. They're not necessarily ideological. They have strong faith. They have strong values, strong conservative principles in the sense of small government. But if you look at the Republican Party today at the state level, it's got a lot of new faces, and they're black, they're Hispanic, they're women, they're veterans, and they're all really impressive. And so as much as I kind of wonder about the country today, I look to the future and say, this is the next generation. This is the leadership generation. And they're all smack dab fabulous, whether they're Republicans or Democrats. I mean, my daughter's a Republican and won in a Democrat district. And she won because the country, in fact, is not nuts. The country doesn't want to defund the police. It doesn't want to have socialism. The country doesn't want to do a lot of the things that the more the quote progressive, really communist socialist wing of the Democrat Party wants to do. The country, in fact, likes the conservative Trump policies. And so I'm quite encouraged, not only of the real sweep, the red wave that happened in state houses all across the country, but the fact that if you look at the Republican leadership and the next generation, they're awesome. If you look at the Democrat leadership, who do you have? The Squad? AOC? I don't think that they're really where the country is.
That's I think, you know, it's yet another reason I think Trump actually won. And in fact, I'm sure he won, but the question is whether he will be able to prove it. Right. But I guess the madness of the Democrats lurching to the left in this way, I think that they are destroying their party. In other words, if you don't have any actual moderates, I mean, people would have assumed Biden would have been one, but it's obvious that he's either nothing or he is simply weak and going along with whoever pushes the hardest. But I think that they're destroying themselves because, as you said, if you're not nuts, you can't vote for that. I mean, the idea of open borders, the idea of so many of their ideas are patently ridiculous. And I think, you know, if you have a job, if you have a kid like your daughter now does, you just don't go for that stuff. And it seems to me that most Americans, if they're given a choice between anything and then socialist madness, they're going to go for the anything.
Yeah, Americans really aren't nuts. And America is, as my old boss Ronald Reagan said, America is a center-right country. And the media is not. And the Washington power brokers and the ruling elites, you know, they're the status quo. They want things exactly the way they've been with them in charge. And they're not center-right. They're really just all about themselves. And I guess to the extent that the media has any ideologies, it's far left. But the country, that's why it's so important for the leaders to be able to connect to the country directly. Reagan was very good at it. Trump in his own way was quite good at it too, using Twitter to kind of go over the heads of the media mob. But we'll have to see what happens in the next 2 weeks. Either, you know, whatever happens, Eric, it breaks my heart. But I think we are set up for 4 more years of screaming at each other in Washington and all of the crises we're going to be facing. You know, how do you rebuild an economy which has been pretty devastated? How do you deal with the crisis of the vaccine and who gets it and when do they get it and how do they get it? How do you deal with a rising China? I'm a foreign policy expert and I'm terrified at what China's got planned for the next couple of years.
Well,
and
I wouldn't be terrified if Trump were president. No, exactly.
But they've got a plan and their plan is to replace the United States within 5 years. Much harder to do it with Donald Trump, who's the only guy who's ever stood up to China. But if Joe Biden is president. I mean, look, you know, something that nobody noticed, but yesterday, the Chinese signed a multilateral trade agreement with 12 nations in Asia, the major trading nations. Now, why did they do that? Because the Asian nations are looking to think, oh, if Joe Biden's going to be president, he doesn't have our back. We better make the deal we can with China right now while we can, because China represents a threat to all of them. And yet they can't stand up to China without American leadership. And nobody thinks Joe Biden's going to stand up to China.
Oh, I mean, I think that I want somebody to redo Doobie Brothers' China Grove with the lyrics, China Joe. Whoa, whoa, China Joe. I think that he is our worst nightmare. He is the genuine Manchurian candidate who is absolutely unable to see evil. Anyone who has suffered under communism understands you're dealing with evil, inhuman evil that doesn't believe in the sanctity of the human being, the sanctity of the individual, or anything. And we've had it since the beginning of the 20th century. People willing to play patty cake with Lenin and Stalin and so on and so forth. People that naive, that foolish, and then some other people who are simply that greedy. They don't care. They figure, well, if somebody's going to make money, it might as well be me. I just want to ask. We've got 30 seconds left. How did you get to work for Reagan? I mean, what was your upbringing that you and your family seemed to be public servants? How did that happen for you?
I grew up in a working class family in the Midwest. I had to pay my way through college. I got a scholarship to George Washington University and a nighttime job as a night shift secretary for Henry Kissinger, who was national security advisor to President Nixon. So I go back to age 18 working in the White House.
That's insane. I want to talk to you about this. I've met Kissinger a few times. I'm not impressed. No, just kidding. There's so much I want to talk to you about, KT. We'll get you back. Just a joy to see your happy face in such a nice setting. We needed a little of that. God bless you to be continued. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.